Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Let's get started this morning from this wonderful letter written by the Apostle Paul to some Christians living in Rome. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to go to the movies to see the movie, The Apostle Paul, that came out. Anyone here going to see that movie? No one? Just me and Christy, a couple people. It's a wonderful film. It's a wonderful film. Sets Paul in this context and the people he were writing to as they were being persecuted. It's a wonderful depiction, and I suspect that it takes a lot. The movie takes a lot of its information from this community of Christians in Rome. So Romans chapter 6. If you have grown up in the churches of Christ, you have heard this text before. It's a powerful text, and I want us to reimagine this text this morning for our context here in 2018. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse number 1. Paul writes, "What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and that the body that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died free is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Last time I stood before you, it was Easter Sunday, April 1st. It was an Easter sermon that I preached entitled, "Come Alive, The Way Forward." The sermon was rooted in the Easter story, the resurrection of Jesus, and it was an invitation for us, as individuals and collectively as a church to come alive. The resurrection of Jesus means life for you and for me. It means life for the brokenness in our lives. It means life for the despair in our hearts. It means life for the confusion in our minds. It means life after the perceived death of dreams and plans. All of us need life and resurrection. In the Gospel of John, Jesus showed up to a community who were mourning the death of their beloved brother and friend, a guy by the name of Lazarus. Jesus had previously sent a message to this community who had asked for him to come to heal Lazarus while he was sick. And Jesus sent a message. He was a little ways off from where they were. And he sent a message and says, "Listen, I want you to go tell the people there in that community that this situation, Lazarus is sick, but this situation is not going to end in death." But that's exactly what happened. Lazarus died. And when Jesus arrived, the people were a mess because hope had been lost. Lazarus was dead, and depression and despair set in. You ever kind of been there? You ever been there where you have prayed so hard, you have worked so hard, you've done all the right things, you have persisted, you have begged, you were patient, and it just didn't work out? That's where the people were. And they were a mess. They were sobbing, they were crying. Some of them were saying, Jesus, if you had only been here, we would not be such a mess. In the midst of this tragedy, the death of Lazarus, Jesus showed up. Now, how many of you know what it's like for Jesus to show up, even in the midst of where it didn't work out, where hope was lost? You understand what it means that Jesus showed up. He showed up and he said to Lazarus' mourning sister, this is what he said to Lazarus' sister Martha. Jesus said to her, this is John chapter 11, verse 25. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? Church, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And that is an Easter message, but it's not unique to Easter. It's not limited to Easter or Easter Sunday. It's our weekly message. You can find resurrection and life in Jesus. Actually, if we consider the Christian calendar, we are still in the season of Easter. This is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season. But I like to think and believe that we are always in the season of Easter, because Jesus is always the resurrection and the life. And Jesus always is in the process of giving life and resurrection to us daily. And right now, as we speak, church, Jesus is giving life and resurrecting the dead. I want you to take a look at this guy's story. A guy who speaks of his own death to life story. And he talks about how Jesus is resurrecting his life, and he's now alive and not dead. I mean, he was literally almost dead, and Jesus has brought him back to life. Let's watch this story.
Every morning we come down here to the shop and we start our day off with prayer and a devotional. And then we take off and get to work. I grew up gangbanging. I got into crystal meth at the age of 12. Things got progressively worse. I started getting in more trouble. Those were the younger ages. I still didn't realize that I had a problem though. I got real deep into robbing people. It was an everyday thing for us. Well, my drug addiction was costing me maybe $1,500 a week, because I just knew I had to give my life over, because I had lost control. So I called the Potter's House that Tuesday night before I was supposed to come in for intake. I got shot in a drive-by in front of my house. I woke up to my mother shaking me. Come to find out, I got shot 12 times. It was February 9th when I got here. You know, my wounds had barely healed up. I'll always remember that day. Since then, the changes that have come over me is that, you know, I got saved here. I have no interest in the street life that I was living before. And now, 2 years later, I'm being entrusted to lead a group of men. My relationships have changed since I've been here at the Potter's House. The people that I dealt with on the streets, I am not in contact with any of them. Me and my mom are like best friends. We talk all the time. I plan to go see her later today. I know when I got here, I just wanted the pain to stop. But I believe that it's inevitable along the way. You're gonna create friendships, you know? And the difference is that the friendships that you create here, these people genuinely care about you. And we're all trying to reach the same goal. That's to stay clean another day, get our lives together.
Lord, thank you for bringing us here today, giving us another day clean and sober, and giving us the opportunity to do this better than we did yesterday, Lord.
Well, in addition to leading landscape, I'm the instructor of the letters class, and so I lead guys into digging deep inside them and owning up to the things that they did wrong. I have bought a work van, I have started my own business, and it's actually been thriving and growing. I'm thankful for the restoration of my family that I believe wouldn't have happened if I wasn't here. If and when I come across people who are headed in the direction that I was, I can be an example for them and I could guide them on where to go to get help. And I would definitely direct them towards the Potter's House.
Can I get an amen that Jesus is still resurrecting people to life? Do you believe that even right now as we speak, Jesus is bringing people back to life? Here is a story of a man who was leading a gang, leading people to violence, leading people to fuel his drug habit. But now, because he encountered the resurrection and the life, he's now leading men in prayer and in Bible study. It's an exciting time to be a part of God's kingdom and to witness what he is doing in the lives of men and women all over this world. For the past several weeks, we have been sharing bits and pieces pertaining to mission and vision and strategies for this church. Let me first say that this is both an exciting time and an anxious time. Questions are fine. We will continue to unpack things that have been presented in forms that are conducive to constructive work on our way forward. While we unpack, I want us to be mindful and cognizant that the reason that we are reimagining our vision and introducing some strategies is so that God will create stories like the one we just saw. We just observe what happens when someone encounters the life and resurrection of Jesus Christ, from leading gangs to leading a group of men in Bible study. Church, that's the resurrection and the life that's living in a season of Easter. And again, we will continue to unpack some of these ideas and ideals that have been presented over the past several weeks. But for just a moment, I want to talk directly to you and me. I read a wonderful text as I began this sermon from the book of Romans regarding our own interaction with the resurrection and the life. What, Paul writes, then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There are so many images affixed to baptism in the Bible, but the dominant image is that of death, a burial, and a raised to new life or resurrection. Baptism enjoins us to the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ. Baptism is that event that is not the totality of our salvation journey, but it is a key piece of our salvation story. Think for a moment to your baptism. Think right now. Think to the moment you were baptized. Maybe you were baptized in a baptistry at the church where you grew up, or maybe you were baptized at church camp at the lake, or maybe you were baptized in a tub somewhere, or maybe you've experienced some other places, creative or interesting places of baptism. I remember mine like it was yesterday. I was 13 years old. I remember what I was was wearing. I was wearing a pair of gray cargo pants that had some pockets on the sides. I remember I had on an orange t-shirt that I used to play basketball in a lot. I played a lot of basketball in it, so much that the under, I won't get into that, but I remember the shirt that I had on. It was an orange shirt. It was Wednesday night, and I remember the preacher, right before we go break off into classes, we have an invitation time, and I remember the song that we sang. We had a book called Sacred Selections, and we sang song 629, Oh Why Not Tonight. And I remember I walked forward, and I remember I gave my confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the preacher. And I remember going and changing into the baptismal garments. And I remember a good mentor of mine, his name is Benny Wilkerson. We both got in the water, and I remember as the curtain was, we had a curtain that you would draw open when we were ready. And I remember him whispering to me, man, this water feels good. And I remember the curtains open, and I remember Benny baptizing me into Jesus Christ. And I remember coming up out of that water, and I remember him hugging me. And I remember that there was no other place that I wanted to be than to be a new raised creature in Jesus Christ. In church, I was on fire. I remember getting out of that water. I remember going, putting on my gray pants and my orange shirt. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I am so close to God right now. And man, I want to go change the world. I don't know if that was a similar story for you, but I just know that they're just baptism stories that I'll never forget. Not only mine, but the stories of others. I was writing a recommendation for college for Alex Menzler the other day, and part of the recommendation I shared in the recommendation. I remember when Alex was here. This was about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, and he was like this high, and he came forward, and I remember him confessing Jesus, and I remember him tearfully saying, I just want to live for God. And I remember taking him back there and baptizing him into Jesus Christ. This is something about that moment when we were baptized into Jesus Christ. My favorite baptism story, I know I've told it, but for those of you who have not heard the story, you got it. This is one of the best stories ever. I remember when I was in Buffalo, New York, I was baptizing this guy by the name of Juan. Juan was a gangbanger, much like this guy that we saw in the video there. And I remember Juan came forward and he gave his confession. I took him in the back and he got dressed and we went into the baptistry and the curtains are drawn and we're having a little conversation. I said, listen, man, just grab my hand here and I'm going to just dip you down and bring you back up. And so the curtains opened. I gave the words, I baptize you, Juan, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I took him down. There was this faucet that was at the back and I was too far back and I hit his head underneath on the thing and I brought him up and he gave me a hug and then we got back and he got changed and he came back out and we were talking. He said, Brother Dion, man, oh, he was just so excited to be in Jesus Christ. He says, man, when you baptized me, man, I felt the Holy Spirit hit me in the head when I was in that water, man. Oh, man, I just felt it. And I said, yeah, that was the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit. There's something about that moment, right? When we're baptized, I remember that when my oldest daughter Caitlin had to get baptized, our baptistry was broken, and at the time the members of the church lived next door and they had a swimming pool, and guess what? We all left church and we went over to the neighbor's house and I baptized my daughter in a swimming pool, and I remember I still got the picture of me just embracing her because that was just such a powerful moment. Do you remember your baptism? Do you remember that story? You remember? Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember how close you were to God? Do you remember feeling free from sin? Do you remember feeling free from burdens? Do you remember feeling alive? Do you remember feeling like you were going to change the world? Do you remember feeling so close to God and that there was nothing that could break you apart from God? There is a reason that our baptisms are so significant. The image Paul uses is so helpful as we try to capture the meaning and significance of our own lives. In Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, Paul writes, "For if we have been united with him in death like this, like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. That old person, that old man, that old woman, that former life is gone. Remember that drug dealer said, I don't even have an appetite to hang out with the people that I used to because I've been freed from that stuff. I'm living in newness of life. Church, we are dead to sin. We are free from sin, and we have been freed from the oppression that sin and its derivatives have sought to confine us and define us with. While I readily accept that we will sin and do things that are in rebellion to God's ways, we still have Christ, and Christ has defeated sin and defeated death, and we no longer have to live lives as slaves to sin and death. We can leave that stuff alone. Somebody said hallelujah. Yet still, even though sin and death pursue us, we rise. Maya Angelou, the famed African-American poet who wrote poems of confidence and strength, even in the midst of the struggle for civil rights for African-Americans, she captured this sentiment in one of her most famous poems, Still I Rise. She writing this poem, not discounting the dark history of slavery and injustice. She pens a poem born out of confidence of a brighter way. Here's an excerpt of that poem. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that it's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear it in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. You see, for the followers of Jesus, our anthem should be similar. I have been buried with Christ, and in him I live, so I rise. I no longer am driven by hurt or shame, I rise. Fear has its place, but not as my primary vehicle. I rise. I have been bought with a price. I rise. I am loved by the Most High. I rise. The resurrection and the life has rescued me. I rise. And out of the watery grave, rising into newness of life, I rise. You rise. We all rise. Paul concludes this passage in Romans by writing this, Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Church, I think it's important that as we come alive and go forward, we look back to the day we cemented our commitment in Christ in baptism. That was the day we first rose up. And for some of us, that was about 50, 60 years ago. How many people here were baptized over 50 years ago? Almost 50. Over 50 years ago. How many people over 60? Over 60 years ago. Wow. For some of us, it was just a couple years ago. For me, it was 31 years ago. For Hannah Brown, it was what? 3 months ago. That was the moment where we first rose up. But as we look back, we go forward with this new refrain, Still I Rise. And as we rise, we deepen our relationship with Jesus. We grow closer to the one who gave us life. And as we seek and desire for others in this community and in this world to experience this relationship, we have to consider this. We can't hope and wish for someone to experience something that we don't experience ourselves. I think it is a great and noble theme for our church to want to make disciples, to want to go out into the community and to see God's transformation take place in their lives. That, man, that is a great goal, isn't it, church? Like, we wouldn't it be just incredibly awesome if this whole block, this whole community, 43068, that's our zip code, if everyone in 43068, it would be wonderful if God used us in such a way that it led to the transformation of everybody in this zip code. That is a, man, that's a noble, it's bold. It's a bold vision. It's a bold task. But, man, that would be so fantastic. But guess what? We don't make any progress. We don't make an inch of progress if we don't first experience that transformation ourselves. And I think one of the things that we need to do from time to time is to look back. To look back at that moment when you came up out of that water grave of baptism, when the water was still pouring down your face and you had that smile on your face and you looked out in the crowd and you saw your parents crying or you saw your siblings crying or you saw your spouse crying. Oh, I remember, Perry, when your mother was here and Bob was here, and I remember when we baptized Bob Collins up there, and I remember your mother was just, woo! She was so happy. I remember that. I'll never forget that day. I think sometimes we need to look back and remember that moment when we felt so incredibly close to God. And for whatever reason, like life happened, adulthood happened, parenting happened, spouse stuff happened, divorce happened, death happened, poverty happened, mental illness, whatever it was, the further we got away from our baptism, it's seemingly as further as we got away from God. This morning, church, I want us to look back. Think about that moment where we first rose up. And I want us to recapture that moment. And I want us to look forward and to know this, that all those things that drove us away are still going to happen. Divorce is still going to happen, and death is still going to happen, and misfortune is still going to happen, and broken dreams are still going to happen. But like that poem, we're going to walk forward and say, still I rise. What I desire for my life, more than what I desire for others, is to be so close to God that he's just right there with me. And I think that once I get to a place in an atmosphere of being so close to God, that my desire for others will then be seen. And I'll want that for others, but I've got to want that for myself first. Church, I desire that for myself. I desire that for all of you. I want you all to think right now where you're at in your life, where you're at in your walk with God. Maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 9.5. I want you to get to a 10. But maybe it's a 1.5. I still want you to get to a 10. And if you're a follower of Jesus, if you had that moment of rising up that first time, I want you to think back to that moment. And I want you to say to God right now that God, I'm ready to recapture that moment. I'm ready to relive that moment, and I'm ready to live in that moment for the rest of my life. I refuse to go back to being a slave to sin, a slave to death. I refuse to be oppressed. I refuse to wear chains. Grace has set us free, and if grace has set us free, we are free indeed. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the Roman church. Don't get it twisted. You are free from that stuff. So church, will you go forward with me singing that new refrain? Still I rise. Still I rise. There is nothing that can take me back to being a slave to sin, still I rise. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he's in my life, so still I rise. Perhaps we will experience transformation. Perhaps we will be on video having stories where we're talking about how God has transformed us, how he has taken the appetite away from us to do bad stuff. Still I rise. As we sing this next song of invitation, I will call it a twofold invitation. It's an invitation for followers of Jesus right now. Those of you who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, for you to recommit to the calling and to the life that God has led you into, a deep relationship with him through Jesus Christ. When you were baptized, God gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit that is living deeply inside of you. This is an invitation to you right now to make a commitment to that. Now, you can make that commitment at your seat to God. Just say, God, I'm going back to that moment, and I'm recommitting. This is a recommittal time. This is a time for me to say that confession that I made is still my confession. And I may have lived out of sync with that confession, but it is my intention right now to live in sync with that confession that Jesus is Lord. And thank you for blessing me with the ministry of baptism, being able to die, to be buried, and to be resurrected into life. And maybe there's something that you need to share with the church. Feel free to come forward and make that declaration to church. This is also an invitation for those of you who've never experienced life with God through Jesus Christ. You've never experienced the ministry of baptism. You've never experienced that blessing. I'm telling you that there's nothing like coming up out of that grave for the first time, rising up in newness of life. This is an invitation to you to make a public profession that Jesus is Lord, that I want to live in sync with God's story, with God's mission. I want to rest in God's love. I want to live a life of freedom and God's grace. All you'd have to do is just come forward, make a public profession of Jesus, and we will take you back there and we will baptize you. I promise you, there is no faucet in there. Won't hit your head, but you will experience the blessing that so many of us experience when we were baptized. So as we sing this song, there's anything that we can do for you. Maybe you just need for us to surround you and cover you in prayer. We will do that. But church, as a body, as we chart our way forward, we can't go forward and seek transformation in the lives of other people if we don't first experience that transformation. I want you to experience that transformation. So let's commit maybe for the first time. Let's recommit. Let's give our lives to Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.